Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whenever you're listening. This is the Fool's Folly Podcast.
All right, well, we're recording again.
Is that the another cold open for the Fool's Folly Podcast? Yeah. Is this when the Breaking Bad sort of thing comes in? Speaking of Breaking Bad, I'm going completely off subject from what we've already said we're going to talk about.
No, that's fine.
Are you interested in the Breaking Bad movie?
Yeah.
You are? I'm worried. I'm genuinely really worried about it. Yeah.
I'm simultaneously worried, don't care, and really care all at once.
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? Oh, I think my phone's going off.
I forgot. Oh, God.
No, it's not good. I can just hear the interference from phone because it's game doing that weird. Could be yours, actually.
When's it coming? When's that out?
It's out. Is it out long? A month or so, I think. It's an odd one because it's because I think that story wrapped up really nicely, and I don't mind that it finished there.
No,
I don't know if I want anything more from that.
No, but people like money.
Yeah, yeah, true. The thing that gives me a little bit of hope, I suppose, is it's Vince Gilligan doing it.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's fine. He's writing and directing it, so that gives me a little bit of faith. I don't know, it just feels weird that Walt's not going to be in it. Oh, well, I guess we don't know, though. Do you think he's going to be in it, Bryan Cranston?
I really hope he isn't.
Isn't?
It's after, isn't it?
It's going to be after, yeah.
No, I think he's dead. I want him to be dead, and I want him to stay dead, and I think it means more if he is, right?
Because it was left ambiguous, wasn't it? We don't know either way. That last shot was literally panning up on him on the floor.
Yeah.
But it's never been confirmed.
I think he's got to be. I'd feel a little bit such a, like, a fuck you.
It would be a bit of a fuck you, wouldn't it? Yeah. Disclaimer, we're going to swear in this. Yeah. Just letting everyone know.
Oh, we've been swearing for weeks.
Yeah, I know. I think putting a disclaimer in is nice, isn't it? It's nice. I know we're 20 minutes in, but I'm not even 20 minutes in.
Anyway. Hello, Clive, and welcome back to the Fool's Folly Podcast.
Clive and Alice. They're collectively.
I think we should collectively call the audience that now. Anyway,
Clive and Alice.
Primarily, it is those two. Anyway,
pretty much. And my aunt. Yeah. My aunt listens as well. Yeah.
Okay, we can't add everyone to. We can't go Clive, Alice, and Connor's aunt.
Yeah. Well, what we've got to do is, like, if any of those people ever give us money, we can give them producer credits.
Yeah.
And then, like, at the end of the show, we can just say all their names.
Mm-hmm. This is why, as much as I want Clive on. Mm. We probably shouldn't have Clive on anytime soon because
the listenership on that episode would be way down.
Way down, because he's got far more important things to do than listen to a podcast that he himself is on and probably remembers the conversation. So, yeah.
Do you ever go back and listen to these?
I will listen to them after they've been uploaded.
Yeah,
and I'll listen to them primarily to make sure that there were no mistakes.
No issues like
that. That for some reason in transferring them whatnot that have gone through. And then I might listen to them once more just for prosperity.
I might go back and listen to them. Because I used to listen to them like you when they were uploaded. Yeah. But I think I stopped doing it after about four. Just because it feels a bit weird. Although I do actually think I listen to it and I do laugh at our own jokes. So it's quite sad, really. I will go back and listen and have a good old laugh at our podcast.
Yeah. It's fun to... You don't ever be caught listening to your own podcast.
Oh, I tell people I have no qualms about it. Nah.
Do you? I'd find that odd, and I probably shouldn't, but I would.
No, I don't find it too odd. It's like a little bit for me. It's like watching yourself do a stand-up set back, though. It's that kind of. It almost feels a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Not. I know. Obviously, the difference here is we're not having the same conversation every time, but it's a little bit like how can I be more interesting? How can I?
Yeah.
How can I do more and say more? That's true.
Well, I mean, maybe I should listen to the. I mean. So far, though, we've only done two episodes in about a month.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
We missed a month.
2 months. Two episodes in 2 months. We've been...
Yeah, we missed... We were busy. We were busy, busy boys. After you came out from Edinburgh, I then suddenly jumped into a load of sounds. And so did you, actually. Yeah. You jumped into the Make a Move stuff. So it's not like we've been...
Yeah, yeah.
We've been resting on our laurels, exactly.
Yeah. And I say I jumped into the... I jumped into the Make a Move thing. I did, like, a few days for them. But, you know... I'm now going to claim I'm part of the team. I'm at the table.
But that,
knows
you know
who I am. But hey ho.
It takes time away. Days away are still days away.
Oh, it means absolutely.
That you can't go and do things.
Absolutely. My favorite thing that doing the few days work I did for Making Waves was phoning people, mm-hmm. trying to get them interested in the festival, and Katie, who is a much, well, let's call it how it is, a much better, more experienced producer than I am. Knows some of the people we're phoning, and because of her, of how interactive she is on things like social media, people kind of know who she is. Mm. So she would get through to people, and they would go, "Oh, are you Katie from Facebook?"
from the internet.
and she'd go, "Yeah, great, cool, because we've probably interacted on some producing forum and whatnot." Yeah. And I never got, "Oh, you're Darren on Facebook." No one knows who I am.
I bet he knows.
Yeah.
And we've known each other 15 years.
Yeah.
So you know, what chance of anyone else got?
I phoned someone. I won't name who, but I phoned someone, and I'm not particularly good on the phone anyway. But I phoned someone, and I was trying to, you know, talk about the festival and try and sell it, but not sell it.
Sure.
But, you know, and I started by saying, you know, we'd really love you to come. And this person, I heard her audibly laugh, but I said that, and I had gone, "Oh, I'm doing this really badly." I can tell. I don't know. There was something.
Did you say that to them? You were like, "I've done this really badly."
It was, you know, what was then the conversation? Oh, I was then asked, you know, "Where are you calling from, like, one of the venues?" Well, I was like, "No, I'm in someone's kitchen." It's grass levels producing.
Yeah. Yes, well, you know, it's still it's a grassroots festival. I know it's got a lot of it's got a lot of big names attached to it. It's got a lot of, you know, further functioning, longer standing, institutions that are a part of it. But it's the first year of a festival of its kind of around here.
Yeah,
something on that kind of scale.
So, for those of you who might not know, so Making Waves is a new festival coming up
next weekend.
Which is being,
so you've still got a week to book
still
tickets.
Still a week to book tickets. It's being produced by UK Arts International and Loop in the Loop, with support from the likes of Theatre Royal Margate, the Tom Thumb Theatre, Albie Soul Cafe, Margate Now, the Arts
Festival?
Council,
which is now Margate Now. Of course, it is. Yeah.
And it's basically, I would call it a big weekend long theatre festival / industry showcase.
Yeah.
With a load of shows from primarily locally based Thanet and Kent based artists.
North Kent and North Kent or something like that, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and there's some great stuff. I mean, I won't go through everything, but particularly, I've just got the brochure in front of me. Bumper Blyton,
yes.
Which is on the 28th of September at Theatre Royal Margate at 5 PM, which is an improvised Enid Blyton adventure. I just think that's going to be incredible.
Isn't it one of the... audacious? Not audacious.
Ostentatious.
Ostentatious, thank you, yeah. Isn't one of them involved in that?
I believe they are a sister company.
Right, okay.
Or there is at least a connection there.
Yeah.
They're somehow.
I'm sure one of them was one of the founding members.
I think they are. Yeah. I can't totally remember off the top of my head, but I think they are. Hannah and Hannah's back.
Hannah's Dreamland.
You know, and there's a brilliant showcase on the 27th of September at 9 PM at Olby Soul Cafe, where that's just basically work that's in progress and being shown. So it's kind of like
2-3 hours of little snippets of work.
Yeah.
But Julie's World's back. We've raved about it before, and of course we had Trudy on the podcast.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks back, so go back and listen to her episode. She talked a lot about Julie's World, and if you can get to see it, it's just such a great show.
Yeah.
And then we had the pleasure of seeing Henry Mad the other night perform at Roundabout as well.
He's great.
Oh, he's brilliant. He was really, really good.
He's great.
Yeah, he was
I've never seen him perform before.
No. And it was... Disclaimer. He wasn't even supposed to have been there. It's because someone dropped out of Roundabout on me. I had to suddenly get him and he really pulled up for me. It was really nice.
And if you've got kids, I mean, Reynard the Fox...
Yeah.
Is going to be really a really fun little show. That's on at the Tom Thumb Theatre on the 29th at 11:45 in the morning.
It's a lovely little show. It's supposed to be performed outside, but I think they've kind of slightly adapted it.
Yeah,
so it's able to be performed inside now, which is going to be really interesting to see. Actually, I'm hoping to.
But it's a lovely piece of puppetry theatre. We saw it scratched, didn't we?
We saw a very early version of it. Yeah,
yeah. It's just It's really, really lovely. So there's loads of really cool stuff going on over the next weekend.
And it's really cheap as well.
It's cheap.
It's £6 for pretty much everything. I think there might be, it's £9 for some, but £6 for a lot of it.
Yeah.
Which is
And you know, that weekend you've got the opening of the Turner Prize.
Yeah, you've got, it's the opening of Margate Now as well, opening, I'm pretty
Margate
sure, right?
Now. Margate is going to be absolutely the place to be. Well, if the weather's nice, which
knock on wood,
Margate will be just buzzing.
Absolutely buzzing.
So that'd be really cool. But we'll put links to Making Waves and the full program in the description below. So yeah, go and have a look and book tickets because it's new and it needs support.
And hopefully things like this again, it can come back next year and be bigger and better.
You know, anti-Edinburgh.
Edinburgh by the sea, it's nice.
But why it's really important is because there is a real focus on putting a spotlight on stuff that's being made in this area.
Yeah,
and that's not, you know, and that is nice.
And it's and kind of in an effort to celebrate the things that are being made here and help them go on their way and become become the bigger things that they definitely could be.
Well, that's it.
With the support,
A big part of this and why it's great for the artists is that there is a big push to try and get as many people in from the industry down to Thanet to see this work.
Yeah.
That they might then be interested in programming in their venues or, you know, and pushing it along and it could become a real little a launching pad for them.
If you're a promoter listening to this, come down.
Absolutely, you should be coming down because there's a wealth of talent down here now, and it's all going to be a lot of it is going to be on display over that weekend.
Yeah, there's going to be tons.
Tons of stuff. So what have you been doing?
What have I been doing? Loads of stuff, mate. Sleeping. I've been doing loads of stuff. I just come off the Roundabout Festival. Which I think I talked about last time as well, but that's now over. It's finished. It's done. God, that was a stressful weekend for me. But it was great. Yeah, so we had the Sit Down Listen Up event, which was really nice, sort of, you know, celebrating some local artists. Sam Slattery did his new play, A Trifle Death, which was really nice. You worked with Sam a little bit on that.
I did, yeah. Do you think it all... Because I when I went and met him and I spoke to him. He wasn't entirely sure. Do you think it'll be a play?
I guess maybe not a play. It's more... It feels like a storytelling event a little bit more, in a way.
Yeah.
Play maybe isn't the right word for it. A new one-man, one-person show, I guess, is probably more apt.
Because I asked him, and I don't think he'll mind us discussing it for you if he listens to it. Because I asked this question, and I think it was quite an interesting point, is that it was very well written. And I wonder if it's... I asked, is it made to be performed or is it better to be read? And there could be that side.
Yeah,
it,
a little.
You know?
Just
sometimes you don't know until you get up and perform it.
I think he did. I think he did a really great job though, given the limited amount of time he could work with you and things like that.
Yeah.
To actually kind of get it up on its legs and work with it, because obviously, yeah, it was a really short amount of time to kind of put the thing together. Mm. Although I'm sure probably. Being only a very fledgling producer myself, I'm sure 2 months to some people's like, wow, that's loads of time to put on an hour long
event. I don't think it is. I 2 months is not enough time.
Yeah, and especially, you know, it's because this isn't our only job. We have other jobs as well that we kind of have to dip into to pay the damn bills.
Well, also it's that thing of the thing I find with producing is, and it makes me face a lot of like the anxieties I have is because part of producing is always who you know and being able to have those connections and get and when you're new to it, people don't know who you are.
No, indeed.
And you've got to develop that shorthand and that thing. So 2 months eventually down the line, you know, if you're doing it in two years down the line and you've built up some of those connections, 2 months, you could probably do more in 2 months than you
would. Than I could have do now. Yeah, agreed. Yeah. And I feel like I've even come a long way, even from when we talk about producing the Loop and the Loop Festival at the beginning of this year. And, you know, we had 6 months. No, that was about 4 months, 5 months to put that on.
We started in January.
Yeah, but the planning for that had been going on a lot longer than that.
Yeah.
But we came on and we had about 4 months to kind of do the bits we did. But I even feel like I've come on a lot since then.
Yeah.
You know, and even... having not done loads in between, but knowing a little bit, feeling a little bit more confident that, oh no, I can do this.
You've done it before. Yeah, it's that thing of having done it before.
Exactly right. Yeah, then we had some poets. We had Sam Rapp and again, Henry Mad, talking about Henry Mad, who really stepped up again. Yeah, literally. I had a real nightmare with someone dropping out that morning because they weren't well. And yeah, got in contact with Henry. He managed to come over. He was at CPD day with you. And I literally messaged him being like, right, so there's someone else there with you. You don't know who it is. But why don't you get in his car and he drive you to the event?
And luckily, we all had name tags on. Yeah. So, you know, I was able to find him and go, hi, Henry. You must be... Yeah, I'm Dan. Yeah. I'm hoping that you've been in conversations with a boy called Connor and you're going to get into... Because if you're not... This is weird.
This is weird now.
That was the most rock and roll thing.
It was really rock and roll.
Because I left the seat. This day ended at 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Finished a little bit earlier, actually. So I think I got out about 4:20. But everyone's packing up and saying goodbyes. And I knew I had to... The
event started at 5:00.
So I had parked near... What's the park in Margate?
Which park?
The one...
Oh, Dane Park.
Dane Park,
yeah.
I parked near Dane Park, which I thought was closer than it actually was. So When you're in a rush, I'm suddenly like, oh no, there's another road that I've got to go down. So I go and find Henry and I go, because he's saying goodbye to people and I don't want to rush him.
Yeah, of course.
I go, Henry, you finish up here, I'll go and get my car and I'm going to swing it round and then you jump in. Got my car, swung it round. It was basically like grabbing my client, getting him from one gig.
Let's get him to the Greek. It's a really shit. Yeah. Get him to the Greek.
Get him to Newington Green.
For roundabout.
Roundabout. And just to the point where I don't care how quickly I'm going over speed bumps. I don't care the fact that my car is making a noise I can't describe. We're just going to put the music up a little bit more. We're going to talk a little bit louder. And I think I got him to you for about 10 minutes before.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, there was no... Yeah. I don't even think we'd started seeing people by the time he got there. So that was really, really cool. That was really good.
And I felt bad because I had said that I would be there earlier for Sam.
To help with Sam, yeah, sure.
To help with Sam. And the CPD day didn't overrun, it finished at a different time than I originally thought.
Yeah.
So I wasn't there.
But I think it was great. And then of course to sort of close out the event, it was ZZZ. So Tom Adams and Lillian Henley, who were great with the argument, which was a riot. That was so
funny.
So funny. And I will be really interested to see where that goes as well, because what I've sort of found watching some of their stuff in the past, they are really good at scratching those small ideas they have.
Yeah.
And they're just really good at like, oh, this is an idea we got. Should we do it? Yeah, okay. And then they've done it and they're like, oh, actually that was shit. Or, well, I don't know if that's what they are like, but this is what I assume because some of the things I've not seen them further developed.
Mm.
I think they're really good at that. It's really interesting to watch their process.
Mm.
They're really, really fun. Really fun people.
Yeah, and it was, you know, that argument. So it's called the...
It was called The Argument, yeah.
And apparently the idea comes from that they argue a lot when they work together. And they kind of reenact this, part of using spoken words, reenact this argument they've had from their perspectives. And then there's this recording of the actual argument
so
that
they accidentally recorded it. Oh, it was so funny. I'm sure I guess in hindsight they're looking back at it thinking it was actually funny, but I loved everyone's reactions when they were hearing what each of them were saying. Like, I was watching people, they were like, oh, I can't believe he said that, or I can't believe she said that. It was so funny.
Because it wasn't like vicious.
No, it
like,
wasn't a rant.
I'm going for you.
Yeah.
It was, well, they said it was bickering.
Yeah,
it was
just those little snaps at each other, yeah. The little digs, yeah. It was very funny.
And I got to quickly speak to Lillian afterwards, and I had to go, that reminds me so much of me and my partner when we write together.
The bickering,
and it's that. I get that. I got that a lot. And I thought it was really funny.
It was. It was very
really, really funny.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And of course, and Roundabout was just, I think, a delight all round as well. Like, the whole event. And unfortunately, I didn't get to see nearly as much as I wanted to because I had, both days, I had a bit of a nightmare with it, people dropping out and stuff, you know, which is, you know, can be expected sometimes. It's just a bit tough to deal with. So I spent most of my days kind of trying to rock and roll producer and get stuff fixed.
Yeah.
And making phone calls and sending emails back and forth and getting stuff done. But we saw... on the other hand, we're happy, which I loved. I thought that was
really
great.
Good. That was really good. It was really good. I love that theatre.
It's a gorgeous, gorgeous theatre. We'll put some pictures up in the description or something because it's
beautiful.
It's just so lovely. You know. And if you saw it on Newington Green, well, you couldn't miss it. You come past the school there, and it just suddenly starts to like crest over the top of the thing there. No, but by all accounts, I'm going for like a proper review meeting tomorrow. But it was great. I think there was like 2 days. There was like 150. School kids from the local schools in there. Like, well, I think one school was slightly less because it's the art school, the arts primary, which doesn't have many, that many students, I don't think, in the age range for winter.
And is it, am I right in thinking that it is going to be there for the next 2 years?
It's going to be for the next 2 years, yeah. So the same kind of time, second week in September.
Great.
So kind of September, pretty much every year is going to be pretty popping from now. If it's going to have Margaret Now, Making Waves, Roundabout again... It's going to be a real hotbed
of
theatre in September.
Yeah, and then because then the question is all about how do you program all those things, and is there a way that they can all kind of aid each other as opposed to eating each other's audiences?
Which I think is always going to be slightly difficult. But I think there is definitely a way, and of course, you know, the difficulty being is that the Roundabout shows there. That it's the Payne's Plough shows coming down. It's the Payne's Plough Roundabout Festival. And it's those coming down and they're pre-programmed. They're already in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, can you get something like a Making Waves showcase in there? It's probably on air. But
yeah, well, no, but I would... But also, I mean, the interesting thing about Roundabout and where it is going to be for the next few years, I wonder... If there is still, and I would venture a guess to say there probably is, if there is still a degree of, we're not going to Newington.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it difficult to get people outside of Newington to go to Newington?
I think so.
Even for...
But I think it's, you know, I talked about it. We talk about this all the time. It's, again, the tagline of the podcast. We've said we've had this conversation before. I think it's difficult to make any of the townsfolk in your various town to leave their respective towns to go and do stuff.
Yeah.
I think Margate people hang out in Margate and they do their stuff in Margate. I think Ramsgate people hang out there and Newington people hang out there and they don't venture out. And I'd be curious to know why that is. Because then I say that, but being a person who does go to all of those places.
Yeah. I just wonder if it's a... I think you have to bear in mind, I think a thing probably with us is that we are in our 20s.
Yeah.
We don't have children.
Nope, that's very true.
The expectations and things we have to do are limited in that respect, so we're not on that kind of timetable.
True.
And then, but if you are in all those categories, your spare time, it comes back, it's that age-old thing of what have you got to do to motivate people to leave their comfortable house.
Yeah, to put on trousers.
Put on trousers.
And leave their home. We literally have had this conversation. This was the first episode
we ever did. It's that, isn't it?
It's still that. And, you know, it's interesting looking back whenever we did that. That was the beginning of the year, March time. How that's still
and this is no disrespect, but the great thing about why Roundabout is at Newington is because it's at Newington.
Yeah.
And Newington is an area in Thanet that has been somewhat forgotten over the years.
Yeah.
There is high level of deprivation.
It's perceived to be a really rough and terrible area. It's interesting because I was chatting to Charlie Fox, who is one of the producers for Roundabout, but the Newington side, Starlings, CIC. And she was saying how, like, she was chatting about her friend who has a brand new Jaguar, not brand new, but new enough that it's a nice bloody car, you know. And she was saying that her friend quite happily would park it in Newington and know that nothing's really going to happen to it. But if she went to the place where she lived, and I can't exactly remember where it was, if she parked it on the street, someone would just smash the window because it's like, I can't believe you've got that nice thing and I don't. And I think I think Newington has that perception about it and around it, but I don't think it is that. I think there are probably... there are issues in Newington, but I think it's a really nice area. And the fact that it's going out, and the fact... What I loved was seeing a bunch of... And we sound like such douchebags here. I'm kind of aware of that. But I loved seeing big groups of Newington families in the roundabout. Because it's difficult to get anyone to go to the theatre. But if it's on your doorstep and if it's that sort of money... Because it was only £1 for Newington residents.
That was really good as well.
Yeah.
That was really good. You know, it's that... It's lovely when Roundabout was on Marine Gardens in Margate, but Margate's got a lot going on.
Margate's got everything
at the moment, and you know, if it's there and it's a quid, you're more likely to give it a go.
To give it a punt, aren't you? And that's what we talk about at the time. It's how much am I willing to spend to take a risk?
Yeah, Roundabout basically did a lot to take that away from a lot of people. Because you're in walking distance of your house. It's only a quid.
And it had some really interesting stuff, you know.
There seemed to be a family...
there was a whole community family day, yeah. Yeah, Wizard Stories were on, and they're great. I love the two guys from Wizard Stories, they're really fun. I met them, I've only met them once, and saw them perform once as well. They're really fun dudes. Martin Kemp, our friend Martin Kemp, magician. Martin Kemp?
Oh, Collins.
Martin Collins, sorry, yeah. He was there for that community event as well.
Oh, I love Martin.
God, he's brilliant, isn't he? Who else was there? There was a bunch of people. It was just like a really nice community morning, followed directly by the children's show that they had, Detective...
No, but even in the shows, there seemed to be a... On the other hand, We're Happy was about the adoption process.
Yeah.
About the adoption process and a man who loses his wife and then still decides to go through that process anyway.
I'm getting emotional thinking.
I didn't see Daughterhood.
No, I think I didn't get to see Daughterhood. Yeah, there was Daughterhood, Detective Winters, Winters Detective Agency. I'm annoyed that I can't remember that. And then The Canary and the Crow, which is by Middle Child, who are like a geek theatre band. They're really really cool. Okay.
Yeah.
And they only had one performance, whereas I think everything else had at least two or three.
Yeah.
Across the various days. But yeah, it was nice. It was nice to see big groups of people in there.
It was nice. It was really nice. Yeah, and then it finished on my comedy night.
Finished with the comedy night, yeah, which I sort of had a hand in putting together. Myself and Pam Hardiman from the Theatre Royal kind of helped throw that together. With spit and glue, it was a tough gig to sort of get sorted in the end. But I think by the time we eventually got it settled, it turned out really well. It was a good night. You know, I can talk about it from my side, but why don't you go first? Because you were performing it. How did you feel about it?
Oh, I hated it.
So you didn't hate. You didn't hate the show.
Didn't hate the show. Yeah. I hated my participation. Though there was nothing enjoyable for me, and that was purely because, I'm still new. I was by far the least experienced stand-up comedian in that lineup.
You're the most green, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm the most green, and I'm a little bit rusty because I haven't performed for a while.
Yeah.
I had tweaked my set ever so slightly. I knew it, the last time I'd done it, I knew it worked. I knew I was getting at least to an end bit that worked strong. But I've never performed stand-up in an actual theatre quite like that before.
Yeah, well, because it's in the round.
It's in the round as well. And that's a slightly different dynamic. And actually, that was the most people I know
being in one room, watching the
audience, and there was, you know, the lights don't hide anyone in the Loop and the Loop ladies.
Yeah, they were all there. Katie McGarry, Ellie Jones, Susie Humphreys were all there.
All there, you know, other, you know, lots of people that we, you know, love, respect. employ me as well. And that's the thing. And then I turn around, there's my dad, who I didn't know was coming. And definitely did a joke that I regret in front of him. So I, yeah, that was not a pleasant.
Yeah, but I think that's I think I don't think I'll ever use that. We talked about it when we talked with Lisa. I don't think I'll ever lose that. Sheer, almost utter panic right before you go on, and then you do it, and then you come away, and you're like, oh, I just want to do it again now.
But I didn't have that.
Oh, interesting.
That was the thing.
Interesting.
That was. And usually I do, actually. Yeah. There was something about that night in particular that my initial reaction was I've done it, and almost like, we got away with that.
Right, okay.
It's done.
Interesting.
Because I actually, objectively, I think my set went well. People laughed. You know, from small little laughs to fairly big laughs.
Mm.
I don't think I ever quite got an applause break. There was one joke I was like, oh, that normally gets one. But that's fine. But people laughed in the right places.
Yeah.
I didn't get heckled.
No.
And I got applauded off.
Yes.
As well. So from that point of view, it went quite well. I wasn't totally happy with the way I performed that set.
Mm.
I thought I'm still at the point where. And it's largely nervousness. So my persona is very deadpan.
Yeah,
anyway.
It's very dry.
It's very dry and it's very deadpan. But I think it can be sometimes, and it's due to nerves, I think it can be a little bit monotonous in tone.
Okay.
I think sometimes it's a little bit too monotonous where actually it needs to ramp up a little bit and needs to speed up.
Pace a bit more.
Yeah, and I think that's largely due to nerves.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And I'm trying to remember what I've got to do and I slow down. So the more I do it, hopefully I will feel a little bit more comfortable with it. But yeah, it wasn't. And the thing with stand up is, and I don't know if you'll agree, unlike when you're doing a drama or a show,
mm-hmm.
where you have the fallback of a script or a sequence of events that you kind of definitely know are going to happen anyway, you eventually get comfortable. And doing it, and you're like, right, I'm here, I'm doing my job. Whereas I never quite get that in stand-up.
Because
you're only ever a bad joke away from losing it.
From bombing, yeah. And it's difficult, it's interesting how you could do a series of fantastic jokes and really good jokes that everyone bored with, but I think as soon as you make a bad one, it's difficult to get people back on side. Again, we're only quite fledgling. I'm sure actually if a more seasoned comedian had that, they probably could draw it back a little more easily. It's devices to bring the audience back on your side.
But
and bring them over
and
to
they
you.
Were really nice. They were a really nice crowd, actually.
It was a nice house for us for a house that only sits 150. We over half filled it for a first run at a comedy show in that event in the area. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, it really was. It was a really good night. Oh, what was I going to say? I was going to say something and it was really insightful and really interesting to listen to.
And now we'll never
but
know.
But now no one will ever know. No,
it's gone. That's fine. But the whole lineup for that night was really, really great. So we had, so it was Lloyd Hollett, who was our compere and our host for the evening. He was really, really great. You know, really nice fun. Really, really got the crowd on side.
Yeah.
That was nice.
He was also very lovely.
Oh, he was so nice.
Backstage, he's... And I would, you know, and again, limited knowledge of all local comedians, and I think it's largely due to nerves. Most comedians I've found so far, anyway, while they are really lovely and will talk, you know, and will say hello and whatnot, but they are... And I completely get it, because I'm the same. You're kind of focused on your set, and you're nervous. You're
a bit cold.
You wanted to try and you've got to try and amp yourself up and get there. Whereas Lloyd was, and you probably put it down to the years and years and years of experience.
Yeah.
But he was so cool backstage.
He was really
And there
cool.
was no... What was surprising is, because he was probably by far the most famous.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the biggest name.
Mm. Between him and Charlie, for sure.
Yeah, on the bill. And there was, and you wouldn't know that. Like there was no
bravado.
There was no bravado.
No,
there was no like I'm Lloyd.
He was really great because I was, I was really nervous. And again, even though I wasn't performing, I was just wanting to, you know, because I want it to be a good event for everyone. I want it to go on. But he did actually make me feel quite comfortable because he came over, shook my hand, you know, asked me how everything was going.
And
he was great.
And I, you know, when he came in and whatnot, and I was sat, and I think he probably saw that I was very, you know, a little bit edgy, and he came and sat next to me and just went, "You're right, mate. How are you?"
Oh, bless.
You know, he was really nice.
Yeah, that's
nice. He was really nice. Yeah. Over the rest of us are all being really jittery. It's like, what?
And then we just had, yeah, three, was supposed to have been four, local comedians. But we ended up only having three. We had Adam Morrison Jones, who opened, who was really, really good. And I must have seen him perform before, because I did, he is familiar.
I don't know if you've seen him perform. We met him, he was with Dan Shepherd.
That's when I met him. Yeah, that must be why he was familiar looking. Yes, that was it. Yeah, I don't think I've seen him before.
Yeah.
But he was great. He was really, really fun. And he's got such a great energy about him.
Yeah.
Such a lovely energy.
I think he's amazing. The last time I'd seen him perform, it was on it was the last time I performed.
Mm.
And he was the compere that night. I think he's an amazing compere.
Yeah, he would be a great compere.
He's really good at getting a crowd on the side. I think he's really likable.
Yep.
They're not going to turn on him.
No, I don't think you could.
Think.
He's too nice. He's got a very magnetic sort of energy.
Yeah.
And then we had yourself. Which was great, and we've already talked about that.
I remember my point.
Go on.
I remember my point about...
better be good.
No, it's not going to be. Sorry, Clive. Callback. That didn't work. We'll put a laughter track in.
Say it before you forget your point.
I did a very... what I was talking about, you know, and people could turn on me. And I actually did something at the beginning of my set that was quite a risky performance thing.
Okay.
Which was to make you sit in silence for
2 minutes. Yeah, you're on my time now.
You're on my time now for 2 minutes. And most people generally got it, but there was a bloke, like, front row to my right who I think about to say something because he was just like, I don't get this.
Yeah.
I don't get why... we've had nice people so far. I don't get why this person in a shirt and tie is berating us for the fact we laughed at his opening line.
So that was good. Yeah. And then we had a little break where everyone sort of like just chilled out for a minute. I would like booze next year. I think just having a little pop-up bar would be nice. That's something I'd like to change.
Yeah.
Or if not a pop-up bar, maybe just like a little freebie drink at the interval, if they can, I think that'd be nice. There's something quite sociable about having a little drinky.
Well, I completely understand the reasons why you wouldn't. But
I get why you wouldn't want a pop up bar because it can suddenly become a very different event if you have that.
Yeah.
But
it's that thing of booze is a social lubricant.
Yeah.
And if you know, most people have had. A drink, and that's the point. It's a drink.
Yeah.
There's a point in which the audiences can become too pissed, and it's no good for anyone. But a drink, and they're a little bit looser. They're just that little bit looser. And that's all it is.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know how you... And that's what you want to manage, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if maybe there's like a two-tiered ticket system where if you pay... if you're a local resident, you pay your quid, or you could pay a fiver, and you get a free... and you get a drink with that as well. Quid, and then, you know, if you're outside, it's 5 or 7 for a free drink or whatever, a couple of quid extra, just to get yourself a little drinky. I just think that's and then you can, you know, if we just give out tokens or something like that, that'd be interesting.
Yeah,
because I think there is something about a comedy night and booze. I think they go hand in hand. They're quite a nice partner to have, and I just think that'd be something to.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree.
But I do understand why.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Why that's an issue. It could be an issue. And then we had Dominic Harris, who was great.
I love
him. Who was even drier than you.
He made me.
He made you seem cheerful.
Yeah.
He had some absolutely cracking jokes. There were some of the jokes he had me floored. That was so funny.
I think, and I won't say the joke, obviously. I think he had the single best joke of the evening.
Was it the, I've got a hard copy? Oh, no, the slightly later one. We've talked about this. Yeah. I know the one you're about.
Yeah.
I know the one you're about.
I think he had the single best.
The individual best joke, best probably. Joke. He was really, really great. And I'm looking forward to seeing him more, actually, as well. Because, again, I've not seen him perform before, but he was really, really good.
But he was... I mean this as no disrespect. It was are people going to get what this is?
Yeah.
Because Lloyd as a compere is very kind of that
very
high
energy
and whatnot. And then Adam is quite like that as well and really likeable and people are really going for that. And then you always, there's that worry of if something slightly different comes in.
Are they going to go with it?
Are they going to go with it? And, you know, there was that. But to be really fair, and you've got to, what I like about Dom and what appeals to me and I imagine it's what, appeals to you as well. You really have to listen to what he said.
The word—it's very
all in the words.
Yeah,
so he's very, very, very clever.
Exceptionally clever. Yeah, his set is very, very smart.
Yeah,
and that's really nice. And then to headline the show, we had Charlie Partridge, who was just exceptional. He was just so fantastic. And I'd seen Charlie perform once before, very, very briefly, in for Addington Street Fair as part of the Screaming Alley sort of set that they had, or a couple of sets. But so Charlie Partridge, again, he's a local comedian, and he just... it's almost difficult to explain his set without giving it away a little bit as well. But it's musical, and there's loop stations involved, and an incredible outfit, and... He was so funny.
Because I'd never seen Charlie perform.
Yeah.
Before. And I'd heard about how funny he was. And I'd heard particularly how funny he was from our friend Katie McGarry.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's involved with Screaming Out the Show.
And being like myself knowing I'm on the bill, and knowing that like, you know, we're both friends of Katie, and we're on the same bill. We've never met each other.
Yeah.
Because I'm very competitive, and I would have no right to be. I was like, oh, I'm gonna try and be funnier. I'm gonna really try and be funny. I don't care if I'm funnier than everyone else, but I'm gonna be the funny friend.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be the one everyone knows, but I'm the funnier one. And then he walked out, and I went, "Well, that's
all he did." He walked out.
And I went, well, Jesus, Christ.
Amazing. And again, it's difficult to talk about it without, because it's part of it is him himself, and he, I don't even want to say too much more actually, because I think
he's a genius.
He is so smart, and clearly, there's a lot of stuff in there that's clearly off the cuff and improvised. And if it's not, he makes it look.
He's just
so smooth.
I'd never quite seen anything like it.
No, it was quite unique, wasn't it?
And my dad afterwards, the next day, he just went, "I've got to ask you." I went, "Yeah." He goes, "The guy at the end, what was that about?" And he goes, "Because I loved it, but I could not tell you what happened." And I went, "Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know either, but
it was so funny. I was actually, my mouth was numb afterwards, where I'd been laughing. This is of course going through everyone's sets, but closing up, my jaw was aching. I was just so
and
happy.
I think, but also, and credit to yourself and Pam, that's knowing part of putting a comedy night together is actually just knowing the order in which to put the acts.
Yeah,
and. The fact is, the thing is, I think if the headliner, we all want to beat the headliner, don't we? There's that thing of you all want to be the funniest person on the bill, but from an actual point, when you take yourself out of the equation and look back, we are all building to the headliner.
Yeah, you're ramping up to that.
Myself,
that laugh out loud set.
We'd probably all never say it, but myself, Adam, Dom, and Lloyd. are there to kind of take the audience on that journey to then get it to, you know, to take that ball and pass it along until you get it to Charlie.
Who scores the goal.
Who's going to absolutely. And who's send everyone home happy. And he should be the funniest, and he's got to be the best act. You know, the headliner should be the best act. That's why they're the headliner, right?
Yeah. And he was, he was ace. He was so good. And he stepped up as well. He did an extra 10 minutes of his set. Well, actually, probably not quite in the end because everyone ran over a bit. He probably only did about 5 minutes, but with no issue, I asked him if he could do that for me as a favour, and he just had absolutely no problem at all.
Yeah.
Which is so, again, you know.
Because he didn't need to.
No, you don't need to do that. You're only booked for 20 minutes, and that was the deal going forward. You don't need to go on, but he was exceptional. Really cool. He was so funny. And it makes me want to go, and we talked about this, and I want to go anyway to a screaming alley, but definitely when he's there as the compere, because he's just, there's something, again, it's that magnetism. There's something so unique about it that I've not seen before, and I want to just see more of it where I can.
Well, I want to try and get on the bill at Screaming Alley. I don't want to get on the same bill as Charlie, because I don't want to go into a bill knowing I definitely won't be the funniest comedian on the bill. It was a good weekend.
Really? It was a good, great weekend. I wish I'd got to see more, but again, kind of having to wear my producer hat and do some other stuff and do a bunch of other stuff instead. I didn't get to see nearly as much as I wanted to. But what's really nice is if you're a Newington resident, you could have seen pretty much every show there across the 4 days. In fact, for what, £6, £7?
It's great.
That's really, really, really great. That's... You could have actually seen everything every day for probably £15 as a Newington. You could have seen every single show.
It's really, that's, you know, it is really good. It being there is the best thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if you're, outside Newington, £20, you see the four sort of big shows, which I would consider to be, you know, the comedy event, Middle Child, Daughterhood, and On the Other Hand, We're Happy. The kids show, obviously you could have seen that as well, but, you know, that's
yeah.
But I have, annoyingly, I actually really wanted to see that and didn't manage to get to it, but hey, never mind.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
But yeah, no, hopefully there'll be another comedy night next year.
I'm sure there will be.
If I
get asked back to do anything, I will definitely be.
Can I put that in the diary now? It'd be nice if I have some years.
Just year to year.
A year will give me.
You're just
a
gonna
time.
Do one. Year, you're just gonna do one
me
a year.
Time to write a new set. I'm sure.
It makes me want to put on a night though of our own. It makes me want to do it again. It makes me want to go right. Okay.
I know we've been talking about it.
I've done it now.
For a long time.
Yeah.
And
there's what we've got is good people around us who also want to do it and also probably know a bit more than we do.
Maybe next year, Newington Big Local, the comedy night could be Fool's Follies Chuckle Club.
Fool's Follies Chuckle Club.
well, you could delegate that. Delegate that out.
Delegate that out. Delegate Get that rid out. Of that
we'll
one.
We'll have that.
We'll have that one. We'll don't have worry. That.
You've got loads on your plate. We'll take that.
We don't mind.
We don't mind. We'll take that.
But yeah, it was really good. And it makes me want to go. Got a bit more confidence now. I've done a couple. There's people around us who are really good at it, who can help us make that successful. And yeah, it just makes me want to go, right, okay, no, we can do this now.
And it works there because actually it's quite accessible, right? It's an evening of comedy.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, it's that thing, if you're a Newington resident, you're getting it for £1.
I think that was a really smart idea. Yeah, that was proposed by Charlie and Cara.
It's a really good idea because you would pay more to go to a Screaming Alley to see Charlie.
Yeah.
£8
early bird, isn't it?
You definitely, you know, Lloyd's coming to the Theatre Royal next year.
Yeah, to record
You'll
his DVD.
You'll pay more to see Lloyd at the Theatre Royal.
Yeah, it's a really good bargain.
So, and then you got, you know, three other people that you've never heard of. And if they were fine, you know, they were fine.
Yeah.
If they weren't. It didn't matter. It was £1.
Yeah, it was £1. Yeah, it was nice and cheap, but no, it was great. It was a great weekend of life stuff. It does now mean I'm unemployed though, guys. So if you need a producer for anything, or whatever.
Put links to Connor's LinkedIn page in the bio,
and you can hire me.
Do you have LinkedIn?
No, I should.
Weird,
actually.
Weird diversion.
Turned it. No link. Actually, no, it was a very good link. No, I don't. I should get it though, shouldn't I? Actually, it's one of those things I should do.
Yeah, I mean, I've never really got anything.
No.
As a result from it, but I've got it.
But I think it's Yeah, I think I should get it because I could put all my other, because you know I've got a load of other management experience as well, just not in this industry. I've got a load of management experience in, you know, not fun world. I do find that I have no qualms in saying it. I came off, and I do it every single time we do one of these events, you know, whether it was Looping the Loop, whether it was the kind of mini residency we had at Dreamland for 4 days, whether it's this, I finish and then I go back to my quote unquote normal job and I'm just mad. I'm actually angry that I'm there doing that. It pisses me off. I get actually wound up about it.
See, I went on the Monday. I went and did a workshop again with the brilliant Katie McGarry, who runs a theatre company called Bindlestick Theatre Company, which creates educational and immersive experiences for children.
Yep.
But she runs a series of workshops as well. Anyway, we were doing this workshop, and she would have one group in one room, and I'd have another group in the other, and then we'd swap over. And I was doing improvised storytelling.
Brilliant.
And I have never said the sentence, because it's young kids, I've never said the sentence, guys, cannot all the stories be about poo? Quite so much.
Nice.
You know the point when you say a word again and again and again and the word
it just stops sounding like a real word, yeah.
That sentence is what it... To the point where in my head I'm going, what is poo actually?
what is feces?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It's, you know, again, talking about the thing where I'm a, you know, you're a wreck of nerves right up to the event, and you're spending all this time planning, putting it together, you're nervous. You're nervous all the way through the event happening, and then it's finished, and you're like, ah, fuck. It's over now.
Yeah.
Now it's over. Yeah. God, that's annoying that it's over. I wish I could just do it again. Because the stress is, like, stressful, don't get me wrong, but there's something about it that it does revitalise me a bit of it. The stress does power me through it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'd ever... I think I could, you know, doing it long enough, I think I would lose the stress. But I also think I would lose a bit of the drive behind it as well. The stress keeps me on my toes a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It keeps me hopping from point to point and going, right. And maybe that's not a great way to put it, but I feel like I'm constantly putting out mini fires everywhere.
Yeah.
But that does...
Yeah.
And I don't know if it never will not feel like that. You know, talking to the other producers that we've known for a while now... kind of sounds like it's always going to be like that, even though they've, you know, they're the farthest thing from fledgling that they could be. They're still saying it can feel a bit like a shit show right up to the word go sometimes. Yeah. And again, because it's, you know, I was asked by Looping the Loop to do Sit Down Listen Up. It was a thing they'd done in the past. They asked me to do it because A, I'm sure they thought I could do it, but B, a lot of the other producers were busy doing other things. And you don't want to, it comes back to the thing we're talking about Looping the Loop Festival, you don't want to drop the baby. You don't want to ruin that event for someone else, because it's a really tough thing.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And it's weird, you know, you talking about stress, because obviously we had very different stresses, because doing very different roles over that weekend. I finished after that night, I spent... Immediately the next day, I was like, oh, I didn't actually talk to people, like the act, particularly like the other acts.
Yeah.
So I messaged Charlie and just went, I thought you were great.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And he was really lovely. And I messaged Adam as well and went, you know, I really like watching you work. And he took some pictures of me as well.
Oh, nice.
And I reciprocated. I'd done the same for him, so he's got that material. And then I went through a weird thing of, I always go through a weird thing of, are they saying that because they mean it? Are they saying it to be nice?
I know what you mean. Like, yeah.
Trudy sent me a really lovely message afterwards saying, you know, that was fab, and you should go and do Edinburgh for the full month. And part of me goes, does Trudy mean that, or does Trudy saying that because she's really nice?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It's difficult, but I don't think, you know, these people are, you know, not Charlie and those guys, but some of these people are our friends as well.
Mm.
That's the other thing. And I think if you can't rely on your friends to go to be like, oh, maybe you should. That was great, but there are these areas I think you could improve. if you can't rely on your friends to do that for you, then what's the point?
Oh, I mean, know? Katie turned around to me and actually, and she's completely right. She went, I think you need to, you can push that persona further. I mean, yeah. Almost nastier.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. If you can't rely on your friends to give you that advice, if all you want is someone to, you know, wank you off and tell you how great you are.
I do want that. I do want that. In an ideal world, I'd be wanked off, told how great I am, and yet at the same time, subliminally. So thank you. Be communicated to me where I need to improve, and then I'd just sort of be sat there going,
just like the best of both worlds.
I'd be sat there going,
the perfect Venn diagram.
Ah, is what I do.
That's Darren's ejaculation sound as well. By the way.
Right, we've been going for nearly an hour.
Yeah,
we didn't talk all about the wrestling that I wanted to talk about.
We didn't talk about the wrestling at all. Well, we got that in the bank.
Yeah,
for next time.
Backup material. I bought Equity magazine with me about the I don't know actually why I thought wrestlers unionising would be interesting material for the podcast.
Continuing, yeah, we're neither wrestlers nor you're unionised. I'm not. I should probably do that.
Yeah, yeah, you probably. Yeah,
I need to really. Actually. Be protected against them, some things. If I'm especially
against vampires.
Yeah, yeah. Because you know it's garlics, sign of the cross, and your equity card.
That's the really shit Hammer horror film we didn't get to see. It's Dracula defeated by an equity representative.
Oh, and on that bombshell, ladies and gentlemen.
On that bombshell. Well, thanks for listening, Clive.
Thanks for listening, Alice.
Thanks for listening, Connor Zahn.
Producer level credits go to my mum, because she gave me a fiver this morning.
Yeah. Is that all?
That's the only producer level credit we've got. As always, thank you ever so much for listening. Links are in the description. You can go find all the things that we are.
We've been your fools, Darren Hill.
And Connor Maud.
And we will see you whenever we decide to do another one. Bye, friends.
Bye.